Jonah 1, 1 through 3, 12 through 16. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down the Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea." Then the sea was quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. It's my great honor to introduce Esther Scarborough to you this morning. To many of you, she requires no introduction, but to those of you that are new, I would just say this. There's no one that has a greater heart for the Indonesian people or is more selfless. The sacrifice that she and her family has made, and I've known them over the past 20 years, is huge, way bigger than most of us can even imagine. And I would tell this just one very short story to kind of give you an idea. On one of the trips when I was there, Esther asked us to come and to pray for a patient that had showed up in the clinic late at night. And when we got there, we saw an Indonesian man, an older man, with a growth on his neck that was at least this big, as big as a melon. And he was spitting up water glass fulls of blood. And apparently he had been there before. He needed an operation that they couldn't do at Hohidiai, and they couldn't do in the local hospital, so he knew he was going to die. And as I listened to him talk to Esther, he asked her if he could come there to die. He knew, he told her that neither his family nor the village would love him through this like Esther would at Hohidiai, and so could he stay there. And I want to let you know that over the 20 years, I've witnessed similar things many times. So please welcome Esther Scarborough this morning.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me here this morning. And I really want to thank you so much because you're a part of everything that's happening in Indonesia. You've supported us for many years, well, the work, and you're just, you know, the team behind us. So we just want to say a huge thank you. I see faces here that have been and others that have given, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love the worship today. What beautiful voices you guys have. And you did just a really lovely job. And yeah, it's so beautiful to come into worship. And that's going to come into what I'm going to share with you guys today. So this morning's service has really fitted what I want to bring to you. So first of all, I just want to share a little bit from the Word before I share about Hohidiai. So I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 34, verse 1. Sorry. Okay. 1 to 5. 34, 1 to 5. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. And, you know, there might be some of you here that have been fearful in the last few years. We've had some tough times here with COVID, sickness, businesses, and the world events. And we just don't want to be overcome by our fears. And what does it say we're to do? We're to worship the Lord at all times. In James 1 verse 2 it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter many trials. So, yeah, we have to have joy even in our trials. In Proverbs 17:22, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. Philippians 4 verse 4, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. So we're united with God, and our friend there was sharing about the world events she was watching was disturbing to her today, and it is very disturbing. When I saw what happened to the people of Afghanistan, I just would cry. I met a man in Tennessee this time. He was an Uber driver, and he was supporting his family back in Afghanistan. And he was supporting them to eat because they didn't have money for food. I gave him a tip. I gave him a large tip of $150. I think that we need to be generous as people, and if God touches your heart to help someone, you help them. And we had a really precious time talking together, me and this man. And I just think we've got to be the light of the world wherever we go. And yeah. When Daniel prayed for protection, he just trusted God, didn't he, that God was going to protect him. That would have been a very fearful situation going into those lions. I can't even imagine, yeah? But what he said to them was, even if my God doesn't save me, I will not worship Nebuchadnezzar, yeah? So in other words, he was going to continue to worship God. No matter what happened, he would worship God. He wouldn't change from that. So when the pain and worries of this world hit, I also worship. I find joy and peace when I go to God. And some people say to me, how have you coped with all you've seen and the things that have occurred? And I have seen, there's not much I haven't seen. But what I do is I just go and sit at the feet of Jesus. If I'm really down, I go to the garden, I put my worship music on, or I go to the prayer room, I put my worship music on, and I worship. When I was in Bible college, someone shared a story of how when she got cancer, she willed her soul to worship. You know, when we've got good news, it's easy to worship. Wow, God's heard my prayer, and, you know, we just want to worship him. Yes, yes. And when we get bad news, how do we react? We have to allow God's peace to come that passes all understanding, and that's by sitting at his feet and worshipping. Recently, and we see there it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Recently, we got the diagnosis for Peter that he has Parkinson's disease, and that wasn't a nice thing to receive. And we have a choice in how we're going to handle it. And Peter's had two miraculous healings in his life, clearly the hand of God, instant miraculous healings. So we believe for healing. But we know that not everybody actually does get healed. I don't know what your theology is on healing. I only know the reality that I've seen. And what I've seen is that God moves miraculously, incredibly, in ways we can't even believe. And sometimes people who are sick do not receive healing. So we trust God that he will give healing if he chooses to. And if he doesn't, we will trust him, just as Daniel was saying. So, yeah, I don't know what you've got in your life right now that's really hard for you. I'm sure as we get older, we realize no one comes through life unscathed. We all face difficulties, tragedies, traumas, real hardships. But we just have to focus on Jesus, and we need to keep our joy. People love to be around joyful people. Yeah, if someone's enthusiastic and joyful, yeah, we enjoy it, don't we? So we can't allow our problems, the worries of this world, to be our focus. What is our focus? Our focus is God. He is so beautiful. He is so worthy of our attention. Our message is Jesus, His gospel, His grace, His crucifixion and resurrection, and our hope is eternity. And what actually consumes your thoughts? You know, we have to work and we have to care for our family and all these things, but we have to keep the main thing the main thing. And the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I think this is the main thing. So we've got to just be careful in this world where we're facing all different things, masks, vaccinations, COVID, world events, troubles, that these aren't the main things. The main thing is Jesus. Keep our focus on Jesus. Keep our focus on being His love in the world. And I think that's the really important thing. Yeah, I think that Hohidiai is one example of where God's love is in action. We had a guy come from the mine to Hohidiai from the... He worked in the Australian gold mine nearby. He came and he bought us a gift of food for the children. He asked me to show him around. I showed him around. And he knew what I believed. And then he just went home. He was a fairly rough guy with a beard and not that rough people who have beards are rough, but, you know, he had this long, scraggly beard and he had a smoke yellow moustache and he had, like, tattoos. And I felt, a little bit, but he was a really sweet guy. And when he went home, he put it this way, I didn't pick who he was. When he went home, he sent us an email and he said, I was a pastor 30 years ago, but I got bitter with the church. And now, today, going around Hohidiai, I saw the love of God in action in the jungles in Indonesia and I've come back to the Lord. So, you know, our actions speak. When we love people, we really bless them, don't we? So I'm going to share a little bit. Do I have the... Oh, yes, I do. Jolly good. So this is our place. It's somewhat in the jungle, as you can see. It's fairly isolated. We have a lot of coconuts around us. We're never short of coconuts, which is nice. The blue part is a new area where we've just built isolation wards for COVID-19. This year we worked very closely with the government. The government of Indonesia has handled COVID very well, in my opinion. They're very organised, very thorough, and they've done the best job that they could. It's such a challenge in each country to know how to face it, but I think they've done a great job, and we've joined hands with them and worked together, and it's been really good. Oh. So how does that work? Okay. So this is, as you can see, we've got police lines and things. That's because of COVID-19. See all our oxygen. We actually did allow relatives to talk to their patients outside the police line. If they were positive, we allowed them to go in with their relatives. We tried to be humane as we cared for people. And there you can see. This is some of our staff. This was a pre-COVID one. So, they weren't in there. PPE, what do you call it? Personal protective gear. I don't know why I'm going so fast. This year we did extreme leadership training with our staff where we did incredibly intense physical activities and also had some classes where we learnt about owning our own mistakes and covering for other people, as in helping our friends, not... sort of attacking them if they make a mistake, but being one team and working together. And it was brilliant. It was really good. We learned a lot. So there we are. We were absolutely exhausted. For the week, we weren't allowed to walk anywhere, only run. And it was very exhausting. Like, we moved bricks, we dug dirt. By the end of the day, you just collapsed with all your aching muscles. But it was so good. This is a patient that came into us. For a couple of months, he'd been at home. He had extensive burns. He hadn't been showered because they're scared to wash people when they're sick. And he hadn't had a shave, and our staff shaved him and cut his hair and cleaned him up. And this is him at the end of it with all his bandages on. And he was such a happy man that we loved him and cared for him so beautifully. There he is getting some physiotherapy done as his dressing change is happening. Oh, those are some pretty gruesome photos, but the kids aren't here. So that's good. But if you saw that foot, that is the sort of extreme thing we got. I could show you many photos like that. And just when I look at those pictures, I think, what if Hohidiai wasn't there for them? And that was a diabetic foot. The man came in because of COVID. He was scared to come in, and so he came in late. His wife also had a diabetic foot like that. She went to the local hospital. She passed away. But he said he wanted to come to us. So he came to us, and actually we've saved that foot. Can you believe that? It's now healed almost completely, and it's a usable foot. Isn't that incredible? Like, it's so satisfying. It's so fulfilling to see people with that sort of mess get cleaned up and, yeah, be well again. It's been 20 years since we've been in Halmahera. And thank you, you've supported us for 20 years to be there. We decided we'd have a party and honour our staff. Some staff have been with us from the beginning. So some staff have been 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, or just one. But we gave them all certificates of appreciation for the time that they've served with us. They serve on very low wages. And they serve, yeah, very faithfully. So we just wanted to honour them. At the end of it, they decided they'd honour us as well, which was a bit of a shock, and they gave us tickets to Bali. They'd all put in from their low wages to pay for us to go to Bali, so that was so beautiful of them. So there's some of our staff. You can see the stack of presents. We gave them all a clock, clocks or a bag or a watch if they'd been a long time. So it was just a time to bless them and honour them. Afterwards, we danced Israeli wedding dance, we danced Indonesian dance, we danced Australian dance, we danced every dance we knew, Jai Ho from India, you name it, we were dancing. This is our choir singing. We have a beautiful choir that's been trained by a Slovakian a cappella singer, and yeah, they just do a really great job. If you see that car there, we have... For those of you that don't know the ministry, we have a medical work which specialises in HIV, TB, leprosy, burns, and now COVID. So we've gone into all those sort of areas, but we do general medical as well. We also have children's work where we have approximately 60 children under our care in small group homes. And we have a school that has several hundred children in it now. So I can't share all of it today. If you come to our dinner, you'll hear a little bit more. But if you see this car, you can see some of the roads we have to go. That's to get to a HIV patient. So we go out and we see the patients, and that's one reason why our work has been quite successful, that the government is very pleased with the rate of success of our patients, and we work closely with them. They give us medicines and we're accountable to them for these programs. So that car was donated by the gold mine. So there's the head of the gold mine, which is now under Indonesian hands, and the man who gave that to us is called Haji Robert. And Haji Robert is a very generous man who helps a lot of people in the community, and he gave us a new four-wheel drive, which was great. This is Eka. She's head of our HIV team, and she goes around and ministers and cares for those people, and we serve people all over the island with that. You can see that there still is poverty in the areas. Indonesia is coming up, but there's still some areas with those sort of needs. There she is, praying with the patient. That lady's pregnant, but almost everybody who's on the antiretrovirals, their babies are born free of HIV. If they don't get the medicine, the antiretrovirals, 1 in 3 will be born with HIV. 98% are free of it if they get the medicines. So, yeah. This man came in and his family just left him with us. They sort of didn't want to know about him anymore. And we cared for him. Usually in Indonesia, they're really wonderful with family. So they never leave a patient alone in a hospital. There's always someone there who helps with their personal care and things like that. But they left this man. And so we washed him and cared for him. And now he's got a job and he's healthy and living in Tobelo. He was almost unconscious when he first came in. Both of these two, this little girl and her mum, are HIV positive, but the father is negative, but he's stuck with them. So, they're on our program. This little girl, her parents died of HIV, and now she's with her grandmother. She's been on our program from when she was little. She's HIV positive because she was born before the mother got the antiretrovirals. She's top of her class, and we just love on her. There's Echo again visiting her. We go out to all the patients, and she's just a beautiful child. There she is in her school uniform. This is some patients that have been newly diagnosed, and we're giving them milk supplements. We give them lentils and milk and things just to increase their nutrition when they first start. The antiretroviral drugs are really harsh, and it's hard to take them, and they're usually already in a condition such as this man, so yeah. That little one, her parents died too, and she's living with the grandmother. This is me in Bali. I now have 14 children and 19 grandchildren. So it's quite busy just with my family needs. I often say I'm not quite the doting grandmother like some of you are, because I'm still bringing up my own. I do love the grandchildren, but I'm still bringing up my own family. So I took some of our boys. These are our boys. To Bali with us for the summer holidays. A friend gave us a house, and it was really special just to have family time together. Now this is Lily. She came into our clinic, and the mother asked us to abort her, and I said, no, we can't do abortions, we don't do that. And if you give her to us, we'll give her a good education and grow her up. And she's just absolutely gorgeous. She is super capable. She can cook and clean, and she does music, and she's creative, and she's just the most incredible little human being. So she doesn't know who her father is, and she actually has a testimony. One day she asked me, who is my father? And I said, I don't know, because your mother had so many guys that she doesn't know which one was your father. And she was, like, shocked, and she wrote her testimony down, and she gives it if she goes out. But she says she's just so glad that Hohidi is there to help people like her mother. She doesn't understand at this stage that her mother was going to abort her, but I could imagine later on she'll be a bit of a voice, you know, because one day when she's an adult we will tell her that, and I'm sure she can take it because she's just, that's who she is, but we're just letting her be a child for now. But yeah. This is Victor. He came to me. Some of you will remember Victor. Victor's matured so much, and he's matured in his faith, and he's just really a really amazing young man right now. And he's gone to YWAM, and he's just really amazing. So we're really blessed by Victor these days. He was such a funny, silly kid. We didn't know what he would do. But he's 17 now, and he's going really great. This little baby, there was a lady on the street, and Wendy found her, and she was pregnant. She came and delivered the baby, but she left again and left the little boy with us. He's a gorgeous boy, and he's doing really well, and that's Nata. For those of you who might remember Nata, we've had her from birth. She's one of our girls who's in school now. This is a girl who's just come into our school, so it's really great to have her there, and that's just a little baby of Sella and Delphians, if any of you know Sella and Delphian. This little boy's mother died from COVID-19. She did work for us, but at the beginning of COVID-19, I asked her not to because she had kidney issues. And she sort of wasn't happy that we didn't want her to work. And she went and worked at another health post. She contracted COVID-19 and she died within 2 weeks or so of that. So her husband and her children are now with us, and we're giving support to the dad raising these little ones. This is Daya, Teresa's sister. She loves all things great and small. And her mother she's been in jail. She killed somebody. She's had a lot of issues. There's many fathers in the family, but she's allowed Daya to come into our care, so that's wonderful. This is Sella and Delphian and their baby. Now, Sella used to live on the rubbish dump, and right now she's nearly finished her psychology degree. So she's the most educated of anybody in her family clan. One of her uncles, I think, has a brothel, and her family is very interesting. So it's so wonderful to see. These are the fruits of your labours. This is two of her nieces, Funny and Viola. Funny's the one with the fuzzy hair and Viola's the one without the hair. And the guy in the middle is a guy from a church in LA who came to visit. And he was there when we picked these children up. Their mother had just died and we went and got them from the rubbish dump. That's Viola now at Hohidiai and she's just doing really well. And if you see this picture, this was taken at a Christmas concert, so they've got makeup on and things, but... at Christmas we give them these white dresses. They don't cost too much, only about $15, but they pass them down to the next child the next year. So the one sitting on Wendy's knee is Funny, the one with the messy hair you saw previously. And the girl next to her is Kesha, that's another one from that family clan. And there's Lily, and behind her is Abigail. Abigail's mother was a sex worker. So it's just beautiful to see these kids growing up in faith. When we were in Bali, some of the girls learned how to do nails. We encourage them to get any skill they can just to be able to have another source of income. For instance, when they're at university, they might be able to do people's nails to get a bit of pocket money. We're teaching the boys plumbing and electricity and woodwork and everybody to drive. As they get to later teens, we want them to be fully equipped to go out and face the world. So after school, they'll go and do some building and things like that, and they're paid for that. And it's just a great way to get some skills for these older teens. There's these ones getting their certificates. I'm not going to go through this one. Now, we'll share about COVID. I'm going to share about COVID. Just when COVID hit our island, we had to prepare all our facilities, and it was quite something preparing for the COVID on our island. And these are the cooks, all painting and cleaning. The kids got into the gardens and made gardens so that we'd have food for all our visitors, our guests, our COVID guests, our patients. We had a lot of people who were just quarantining. They weren't sick and they were there as well. I went into the local hospital and I took the personal protective gear out of the rubbish bins and we took it home and washed it. It was like worth about $100 a set and I just didn't want that wasted. So we went. I was determined that our staff would be protected. In the first wave of COVID, We had, at one stage, we were getting at least one death a week, but none of the staff that served the patients got sick. So it was just amazing. None of them got positive that was serving COVID. Here we are washing them. This is exhausting in the heat. Wearing these things in the heat, I tell you, the sweat was dripping off us. And I had to train them how to put them on. We did training sessions, and that's all. So that's all I'm going to share with you today. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. And I just want to say that we would love to have more people come. At the moment, there's still a 5-day quarantine. So for those who only have annual leave of 2 weeks or something, it's not really okay. It's not valuable probably for you, for your time to be in quarantine for half of your time. So we understand that. And we haven't had many people come. But if you have longer time, you're retired or you have long service leave or something, then you can still come. Indonesia's open to people who are doing work like good works. And, we could receive you. So just think about it. If you want to come at all, you can contact Carl Katie, and we would love to have you come. And we thank you, and I just trust that you're being a blessing here in this community. I'm sure you are. And it's just wonderful to be one in the Lord with you guys. Thank you so much.